right, Acts chapter 2. You have your place in the Scriptures and are able. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning? Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 37. Acts 2 and verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Amen. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today, and Lord, for the privilege of standing in the pulpit and proclaiming your word. Lord, for the privilege of being in your house today. Lord, we are so blessed, and we just want to thank you and praise you today. Lord, just wonderful to be a Christian, to be one of your children. Lord, if there happened to be somebody here today that's never got that settled, and they don't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, Lord, they could be your child today. I pray that you just speak to their hearts and Lord, draw them closer to you. Lord, the rest of us, possibly all of us today, are saved. We know we're going to heaven. But Lord, I pray you draw us closer to you too. It's our desire to be closer, to fellowship in a more intimate way with you, to know you better, to praise you more, to worship you more. Lord, we want to please you with our lives. Guide and direct now this morning through our remaining time together. Lord, speak to each and every heart. Help me now, Lord. I need you. I pray you touch me. I just want to be a blessing to these folks, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here we pick up. This is the day of Pentecost, and Peter had been preaching, and he's preaching the word of God here. And if you back up a little bit to verse 14, it says, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Peter was a preacher, amen? And preachers preach. And Peter was preaching. He was preaching the word of God. And he lifted up his voice and made sure that the folks heard the message that God had given him for that hour. And he did his best to get that message out and to be heard. In Isaiah 58 and verse 1, the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And that's what Peter was doing, amen? He wasn't having a little talk with the people. Well, folks, I'm glad you're here today. Got a few things to share with you from the Word of God. That wasn't Peter at all. I mean, he stood up and let it rip, amen. He had a message for the people, and he gave them what God gave him. And hey, folks, I'm not trying to say there's anything spiritual in talking loud, okay? But that's preaching. Sometimes we get a little excited when we preach. Sometimes we do a little spitting, and some of you are wise to stay back a little bit. You know, and I remember my pastor. I remember one time when my previous pastor, he's retired from the pastorate now, but I remember one time he went to preach at another church. He was preaching for another pastor, and when he got there, just when it's time for the service to start, they turned the service over to the pastor, and first thing he did is he had a bunch of towels, you know, like a hand towel. And he passed out hand towels to everybody in the two front rows. He said, You'll need this. Because he's known for spitting in the pulpit, you know. But anyways, no, I'll tell you what. Preaching, and sometimes it gets a little loud. But I'll tell you what. You know what? The Lord puts a message deep down in the preacher's heart. And you just got to get it out. And sometimes there's a little excitement there, amen. And it ought to be. And that's what Peter was doing. Now God used the preaching to bring conviction to the hearts of the folks that heard the message. The Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. Hey, that's what He does, amen. He works in our hearts, and many times when we listen to preaching, we get convicted of something that maybe is not right in our lives, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the message. We hear it with our ears, but the Holy Spirit brings that message down to our hearts.
Yes.
You see, he'll help us get it down to where it matters. Okay, just to say I heard that, that's one thing, but to have it make a difference in our lives. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does that, and he was working in their hearts. In John 16 and verse 8, the Bible says, and when he has come, speaking of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so, see, there was a time they didn't have the Holy Spirit like you and I have him today. But now he's in this world and he works in our hearts and he reproves us and he corrects us. And sometimes when we hear the preaching and we say, hey, that's good. Boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They need that. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He says, no, the preaching's for you, buddy. Okay, it's real easy to point the finger at somebody else, but the Holy Spirit has a way of applying it to our lives and our hearts. And I'll be honest with you, it's not often that I can sit through a message all the way from beginning to end and not be convicted about something. Usually there's something not right. Now, really, we ought to get an attaboy every now and then, amen? That's not a challenge to you, preacher, okay? But what I'm saying is hopefully we're doing something right. Been saved for a while. I mean, hopefully we got something right. Once in a while, we ought to say, amen! And you didn't get my toes this time, preacher. But usually we're gonna get something. It's not, the Lord's going to speak to us through His Spirit some way or another. Now, these folks heard the preaching, and the Holy Spirit convicted them, and they did something about it. The title of the message this morning, Don't Miss the Point. Don't miss the point. You see, that's the idea of preaching. Here, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Look at it here again, the first part of verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You see, that's conviction of the Holy Spirit, and that's why we have preaching. That's the purpose of preaching. That's the difference between preaching and teaching. Now, teaching it gives us knowledge, gives us facts, and teaching is good. We need teaching. We need to know truths. We need to know the truths from God's Word. That's why we have Sunday school. And by the way, Sunday school isn't just for kids. I'm a big kid, okay? Sunday school's for everybody. We're one of the Lord's kids. And we all need Sunday school. And typically, and I'm not trying to say that we never do a little preaching in our teaching too. You know, sometimes that happens. A little preaching comes out into teaching. But primarily the Sunday school hour is reserved for teaching truths. But when we get into the preaching hour, now we're preaching truth. Okay, now the difference. What's the difference, Brother Black? Well, we usually don't raise our voice so much when we're in Sunday school and we're teaching. We're just presenting truths. You take the truth. You maybe take some notes. You take that all in. You go home. You mull it over. You think about it. You hopefully you remember some of this, and it helps you. It helps you understand the Word of God, and it serves a purpose. All right, preaching is not like that. Preaching brings us to the point where we have to make a decision. We don't take the message we heard in the preaching hour and say, oh, I'm gonna mull that over. I don't think about it. It's food for thought. No. That's not. The preaching isn't food for thought. Preaching is a matter of we got a message, we got to get it out, and the Holy Spirit takes that message and applies it to our hearts, and then an invitation is given, and we act on what we heard. We either stand there, ignore it, Say, Spirit of God, I know you're speaking to me, but I can give a flip. I don't care. In a little while, I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat roast, or we're going to McDonald's, or wherever you want to go, whatever you're going to eat. And I don't really care. When it's over, we're going, I'm done. We're going to say, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I make a decision here. We'll come talk to God about it. Preaching brings us to a point of decision. You've got to make a choice, preacher. When the preaching's over, you've got to make a choice. Either, and it's not, sometimes it was just an attaboy. It's Lord, I don't need to go to the altar today. I got everything right. Everything you talked about. I just get the pat on the back. But when that doesn't happen, and we see something's not right in my life, I got to make a decision. Do I talk to God about it? Do I try to get it straight? Do I try to get it right? Or just kind of smooth over and let it go? Preaching brings us to a point of decision.
Now, we're in a day where folks don't like preaching because they don't want to be brought to that point where they have to make a choice, where they have to make a decision, where they have to choose right or wrong, where they have to choose. They don't want that, and they would rather just hear teaching. And the Bible tells us over in 2 Timothy, in fact, if you'd like to, let's go ahead and turn to that. 2 Timothy. Now, let me say this. We need a balance. We need both. Okay? I'm not trying to say that we don't need teaching. Okay? But there ought to be a balance. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God. Now, this is a charge to a preacher. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice verse 3. For the time will come, and folks, the time is here. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, not preachers, teachers having itching ears. They want to get their ears tickled. They just want soft, easy stuff. Just teach me something. Don't preach to me. I don't want to hear that preaching. No, that offends me. That stirs me up. That makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't come to church to get soothed. I come to church because I need to get uncomfortable.
Amen.
And by the time we get comfortable, we got a problem going on. We're too comfortable today. Oh, I like padded pews. That's all I'm talking about. All right. What I'm talking about is, hey, everything's all right. Everything's all right. I'm a Christian. I've been saved a long time. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Everything's good. I like it the way it is. Preacher, get up and say a few things. Choirs, sing us a pretty song, and we're going to go home. I put my dollar in the offering. I'm comfortable. Everything's fine. Hey, folks like comfortable, but we don't come here to get comfortable. We come here to get stirred up, to go out and do something for God, make a difference in this world.
Amen.
We need preaching. He says, there'll be a day. There'll be a day when folks won't endure preaching. You look at the mega churches. These goofballs get up there and they'll just have a little teaching. Nobody gets excited. They say, come as you are. Well, I'm all for that. You come as you are. But you ought to leave changed.
Amen.
You ought to leave different. You don't come as you are and leave as you came.
I don't.
God, I want you to speak to my heart. Give me something. Give me something from your word today. Speak to me. Step on my toes. I need it, God. Give me what I need. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. Let's go ahead and turn to that one too. I was going to read it to you. It won't hurt you to see it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross... Not the teaching, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. There's power in preaching. By God's design, there's power.
in preaching. Read on here. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by, notice, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God chose foolish by the world standards. Get up there and rant and rave and spit and holler. And that's a bunch of foolishness if you ask the world. But God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's God's choice. That's what God prefers. Amen. Now, folks, we need the preaching. Well, you see, these folks back in the book of Acts, go ahead and go back to Acts chapter 2 again. These folks heard the preaching. They heard Peter getting up there and lifting up his voice and they got convicted. They got under conviction and the Spirit of God was moving in their presence and wow. They says, hey, men and brethren, what shall we do? We got to do something here. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I got to do something. I can't stay here. I can't continue as I've been going. I realize I'm lost and I'm on my way to hell. What can I do, preacher? What can I do? My life's not right. Yes, I've been saved, but I realize that there's some areas of my life that need attention. What should I do, preacher? What should I do? That's what these folks were doing. I mean, they didn't even wait. They interrupted the preaching because it was urgent. Something had to be done. What can I do? What can I do to resolve this situation? What can I do to fix this problem? I don't want to go to hell. What do I do? Preacher, help me. I don't know what to do. See, when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, you respond. Preaching, again, brings us to a point of decision. I've got to make a decision. Now, I was lost, and I heard the preaching, and I'll be honest with you, I made a decision. I let it go. I walked out the door. A lost boy. Wasn't saved. I heard the preacher. I made a decision not to respond. Another week went by. I made another decision not to respond. I did that many times. Oh, but one day, I made a decision. You see, I always make a decision. I made a decision. I don't want to die and go to hell. I stepped out of my seat. I came forward. I came to the altar. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And glory to God, and it's been the same sense. Amen?
Amen.
I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I made the right decision. I had to make a decision every time. Most of the time I made the wrong decision. Finally made the right decision. I got saved. That's what these folks did. They had to make a decision. What are we going to do? What do we do, preacher? What do we do? Now, you might not just call out from your seat. I think that's what they did. I think a bunch of them called out in unison. Oh my, what do we do? But you might just come to the altar and take the preacher by the hand and say, preacher, there's a problem here. I don't know what to do. What do I do, preacher? Can you pray with me? Can you give me some advice? What do I do? You see, we got to make a decision. We got to do something about it. And these folks did. You got to do something. God's speaking to your heart. You see, you come while he's calling you. When you have the feeling like you got to do something, like you've got to make a decision. Don't just grab a hold of the pew in front of you and just hang on for dear life. No, you did that before you got saved. No, you're a Christian now. Let go of that pew. Let go. It'll be all right. Let's make a decision. Let's come to the altar and talk to God about it. Let's do right. Let's not put it off. You see, God's speaking to your heart. You come. It's not the devil telling you to leave your seat. He'd be happy if you just stayed there. He'd be happy. No, that's not the devil. Devil will never encourage you to do right. Devil will never encourage you to go to an altar. Devil will never encourage you to pray. Devil will never encourage you to get up and go across the auditorium and apologize to a brother or sister that you've wronged. The devil never encouraged you to get right during an invitation. No, no, no. If you feel that urge to do something like that, it's the Spirit of God speaking to you. You better respond. There might come a time when he'll no longer convict you and deal with your heart. There might come a time when you'll no longer feel the convicting of the Holy Spirit. Lost folks sometimes deal with that. They reject Christ and reject him and reject him and reject him over and over and over and over again. And there comes a point. Now, if you're not saved this morning, you risk this happening in your life. There comes a point where the Spirit of God says, all right, I won't bother you anymore. You go ahead, go your way, and I'll go deal with someone else. I can't imagine being in a situation like that. I've talked to folks like that, Pastor, who told me, I remember when I felt that urge to come to an altar. I remember when God spoke to my heart and I knew I needed to get saved. Preacher, I don't know, but I just don't feel it anymore. Just don't feel it anymore. I could show you what the Bible says. I know what it takes to go to heaven. I just don't feel that anymore. I don't want that to happen in my life. Something's not right in my life. I want God to convict me. I want to feel that. I want to know God speaking to my heart. I want that opportunity to get up and get right. We snub the Lord long enough, and we push him out of our lives. I like grieving the Holy Spirit. No, leave me alone, Spirit of God. You leave me alone. I'm content with my life the way it is. No, I don't want to be a soul winner. All this talk about being soul winners, hey, leave that to the preachers. Leave that to, that's not for me. I don't want that stuff in my life. All right. You have it your way. You want to live in misery, knowing that you could have gotten right with God and God could have used you. And you could have had peace in your heart. You could have had contentment. But you got it. You had it your way. You had it your way. And the Spirit of God takes his hand off of you and leaves you alone. I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. God's dealing with you. Don't quench that. Don't quench that in your heart. Let God speak to your heart. Let God work in your life. By the way, along the lines of quench not the Spirit, hey, the most important part of the service, the very most important part of the service is the invitation. And a lot of times, we're guilty of quenching the Spirit. Pastor says, stand, let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Zip, 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 zip. You hear, remember those Bible covers? Some of you still use them. Zipping up our Bibles. Shuffling. Got to get my coat on. You've got plenty of, you can put your coat on after the last amen. Amen. I mean, you got the distance from your pew all the way in the door before it's going to get cold. You can handle it, all right? Getting everything together, putting all the stuff in the purse, you know. I mean, getting everything situated, you know. Getting the kids' coats on. Wait a minute now. This is invitation time. You're quenching the Spirit. God's working in hearts. God's working in lives. There's a lost person sitting just 10 feet from you. And the Spirit of God's been dealing with them. And they're at that point. They're saying, what do I do? Man, brethren, what do I do? I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. What do I do? I probably should go to the altar. What's that? What are they doing over there? Somebody messing around over. What they're talking over here? What's this? And their mind is totally off of the invitation, totally away from the Spirit of God speaking to their heart. Now they're listening to you instead of the Lord. See, we dare not quench the Spirit of God. during the invitation, during the preaching, anything. I mean, you folks are wonderful. I've been in churches where there's more, a lot more conversation going on out there than there is up here. Shouldn't be that way.
Amen.
Shouldn't be that way. We're quenching the spirit. No, we're here for the Lord. Amen.
That's right.
Your conversation can wait. Amen. Hey, we'll invest 2 whole hours on a Sunday morning. Hey, not to mention the hours in prayer, the study, the visitation, the phone calls, just to have a successful 5-minute invitation and somebody out there blow. Hey, don't quench the spirit, amen. That lost person might not come back next week. Now, I said, come while he's calling you. Amen. The Spirit of God, you sense the Spirit of God calling you during an invitation. You sense God speaking to your heart, and you come while he's calling. You see, the altar is a special place. The altar is a special place. Now, in the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed on the altar. In the Old Testament, they would build an altar in various ways. Some of them were altars of earth. Sometimes they were stone. Sometimes they were made out of brass or other materials. And they would bring an animal, and they would kill the animal. They'd shed the blood, and they put the animal on the altar, and they would make a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, we no longer need an altar for that purpose. All right, Christ's death on the cross was the last blood sacrifice that God would ever require.
Amen.
He fulfilled that. We don't need to go out and kill animals. His blood was the last blood that ever needed to be shed. Go with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's just not possible. That blood cannot take away sin. That's why God sent his son Jesus. Amen. Go to verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away the sins. But this man, glory to God, verse 12, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Amen? You see, so we don't bring blood sacrifices to an altar. We come to an altar to accept his sacrifice on Calvary. He shed his blood on Calvary. When we come to an altar, we're coming to accept what he did for us. We're not coming to bring a blood sacrifice. No, that is not necessary. Now, after our salvation, that's the first time we come to the altar. And the day we come to get saved. I got saved at an altar. Now, some folks get saved at home. They don't have to come to an altar to get saved. But if God's speaking to you here, it's a great place to come. You might not make it home. All right? You can get saved anywhere, but getting saved where you're at, when you hear the gospel, when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, that's the wise place to be saved. You get saved wherever you are when the Holy Spirit convicts you and you know you need a Savior. And by the way, after you've been saved and the Spirit of God convicts you, you handle it right there wherever you are. Most often, that happens in a church service. Sometimes that happens in home or Bible reading. Sometimes it happens going down the road. You happen to find a good fundamental preacher on the radio, or you're listening to a CD of some good preaching, and the Holy Spirit convicts you. Hey, deal with it right then. Pull a car off the side of the road and talk to the Lord about it and get it settled. Don't put it off. Amen. Don't fool around. Just go ahead and take care of it right away. But see, after our salvation, God's not looking for a blood sacrifice anymore. Go with me to the book of Romans. If you're there in Acts, just the next book, just turn your Bible toward the back just a little bit farther and come to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to folks that have already accepted the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen? So he's talking to us Christians. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, so we are to to present our bodies a living sacrifice. God's not looking for a blood sacrifice. He doesn't want you to shed your blood for him. He has shed his blood for you. Enough blood's been shed, all right? We don't need to go there anymore, all right? But he wants you to present your body a living sacrifice. So when the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts about yielding more of our lives to him, hey, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. When the Holy Spirit, we're listening to the preaching, and the Holy Spirit convicts us something's not right in our life, I need to live for God, I need to read my Bible more, I need to carry gospel tracts, I need to surrender to preach the gospel, or I need to teach a class, I need to start a bus ministry, or I need to go pick up the neighbor kids, I need to tell somebody about Jesus, whatever God spoke to your heart about. I need to clean up my life a little bit. I need to get rid of a nasty habit. I need to start dressing like a Christian, acting like a Christian, whatever it is. God's speaking to your heart about surrendering part of our will, part of our lives, surrendering to him. Then what do? The invitation is given. We pick up our bodies and we bring our bodies to the altar and present our bodies a living sacrifice for the Lord. Lord, I'm giving myself, I'm giving my will to you. I didn't want it that way. I didn't want to hear the preacher preach it, but he preached it, and you spoke my heart, God, and I'm going to bring that old stubborn will to you, Lord, and I'm going to lay it on the altar and present myself as a living sacrifice to you. Now, that's what we do in the invitation time. That's what we do when the Holy Spirit pricks us. When they were pricked in their heart, they said, "Man, brother, what shall we do?" And they did something, and their lives were changed for it, glory to God. We don't put it off. We take care of business. We give ourselves to the Lord. Now, oftentimes in Old Testament days, an altar was erected for various reasons, at various purposes. Sometimes it was to remember something special that God did in the lives of his Old Testament saints. It was just an opportunity to remember, just to celebrate something special that God did for them. God does something special for you. It wouldn't hurt you to come to the altar and just thank the Lord. Oh, God, thank you for saving me. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not going to hell. Come to talk to the Lord about that a little bit. I mean, that wouldn't hurt anything. Jacob erected an altar at Bethel, just a place to meet with God. And you remember the children of Israel after they passed through the Jordan River, and each one of them the Lord told they were supposed to pick up a stone, and they brought 12 stones and they made it as a pile of stones. That was an altar to remember what God did for them, that God brought them through. See, decisions are made at an altar. And an altar is where we remember what God did. It's kind of sometimes it's a memorial. Something special took place at an altar. I was married at an altar. You know, there's special things happen. I got saved at an altar. And sometimes it's good just to come back and revisit that place in our lives from time to time. Sometimes an altar was erected because they had a desire to communicate with God. And they just wanted to communicate with God, so they built an altar. We don't have to build an altar. It's not the shape. The table is not the altar. We call that a communion table. It's a place where we put the elements for the Lord's Supper when we observe the Lord's Supper. And so, you know, there's nothing spiritual about the bench or about the kneeler there or anything. You know, nothing like that. But it's just a place that we reserve. There's nothing magical. No magical powers here. It's just a matter of saying, you know what? I'm going to step out of my seat. I'm going to make an effort to get to God. There's been a place erected for me to communicate with God. There's been a place prepared for me to communicate with God. I'm going to go and talk to God. That's what an altar's for. And just to get close to the Lord. Sometimes an altar was erected just simply to worship the Lord. Just want to worship him. Well, I thought that's what we did the whole service. This was called a worship service, right? Yeah, I get it. Okay, and our singing is part of our worship, and our giving, our offering, and our tithes and offerings, that's part of our worship. That's all part of our worship. But I'll tell you, sometimes we can worship the Lord, just kind of the icing on the cake, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the service, if we just come and kneel at an altar and say, God, you're so good. God, I thank you for my pastor. God, I thank you for Emmanuel Baptist Church. God, I just love you. I just wanted to take a minute to come and tell you how much I love you. That's worship. That's worship. Altars were built for no other reason but just to worship God. But I dare say the average Christian will never come. Why do we do what we do? Why does your pastor preach? Week in, week out. Why? Why do you come? We want God to speak to us, right? Well, why do you go to the doctor? Well, I want the doctor to give me a check up and look everything over, make sure I'm healthy. I don't die tomorrow. You know, if there's something wrong, I'd like him to fix it. Something in my life is not right. Something in my body that's not working properly. I want the doctor to fix it. Okay, spiritually, something's not right. Somewhere, something's not right. And I come to the house of God, the spiritual hospital. And I sit down and I listen to the doctor. I listen to my pastor preach. Oh, the Spirit of God says, yeah, that's it. That's the problem. See, your doctor, he can't see what the problem is either, so he sends you to somebody else and they run a test. And he'll take pictures of your insides. The Holy Spirit knows what's inside. He knows what's wrong. He knows what's in the heart. And the Spirit of God says, yep, that's it, right there. Right there. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm leaving. He done quit preaching, went to meddling. Leave me alone, preacher. I don't need that. You don't do that to your doctor. No, you say, oh, there's a problem. Oh, we got to take care of this. When can I have that test run? When can I start treatment? What can you do? Is there some prescription I can pick up that will help me get better? The prescription is right here, church. It's the Lord. The Lord will fix it. The Lord, you got to come to Him. Christian, use the altar. Use the altar. When the Spirit of God convicts you, act now. Not at home, not late. Well, I think I'll pray about that this afternoon. I'm gonna go home and get my prayer closet. Yeah, right. You know, like that's going to happen. You're going to go home, you're going to fix dinner, you're going to eat dinner, you're going to spend some time in your recliner, you're going to take a nap, you're going to go outside and do something, you're going to go. You're not going to the prayer closet. You got a place to pray right here. While God's speaking to your heart. While it's on your heart. While it's urgent. You take care of it. You don't put it off. Amen? Don't miss the point. The whole service, the whole point here, and every Sunday, every church service, the whole point is I want to make sure that I'm in tune with God. I want my life to be right with God. Whatever it is, I want to be right with God. I need to get saved, or I need to surrender for something. I want my life right with God. I don't want to miss the point. Why did I bother getting up on a cold morning, shovel the snow off the sidewalk, brush the snow off the car, and drive to church? Why did I, if I missed the point? Don't miss the point. The point is at the close of the service, get the gravy. Amen. Get what God gave you. You know, do business with God. So you can walk out of the house, walk out and say, glory to God, I got that settled today. Amen. Thank God for what He did in my life. Thank God He met with me and He gave me something. You see, and in Acts chapter 16, you remember Paul and Silas? We won't turn to it, but you remember Paul and Silas? They're in the prison. They were praying and singing praises to God, and God sends an earthquake. The doors open up, and the jailer thinks that all the prisoners have escaped, and he's about ready to kill himself. And you remember what happens? Paul and Silas cry out and they say, do thyself no harm, we're all here. Amen. And he came in and he fell down before him and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He took care of it right then. And that night he got saved. And he was so excited. He says, hey, I want you guys to come to the house. And he took them to the house. Tell my family about this. The family all got saved.
Amen.
He didn't put it off. He dealt with it right then when the Holy Spirit convicted the jailer. He got saved. You see, you never put off a decision for the Lord. Never put it off. Keep a tender heart toward God. You see, lost folks can allow their heart to be hardened, and saved folks can do the same thing. We don't want to risk that. I'm telling you, we just need to respond when the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts. We need to respond to the Lord. First song we sang this morning. Remember the first song we sang? I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Well, let's hasten to Him. Now, if God didn't speak to your heart, you got an attaboy this morning, well, praise the Lord. But if He spoke to your heart, we need to hasten. I mean, we need to hasten to the Lord. I want to get to you, Lord. I want to get there. I want to get to where you are, God. I want to meet you. I want to meet you in an intimate way. Not as we're meeting with the Lord in a corporate fashion right now. We're in His house. We're meeting with the Lord. But I want to meet with you personally, Lord. Lord, this is about me and you. Not about the church. This is about you and me, Lord. I want to meet you here at the altar. I want to meet you. We have just a few minutes, Lord. I'll talk to you for a few minutes. We're not putting this off, Lord. Listen to the Lord. Don't go over me, Lord. Don't pass by. It was Fanny Crosby who wrote the song. Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. I want God to speak to my heart. I want that. Sometimes I get to go to Bible conferences and places like that, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I go so I can meet more preachers because I need more places to preach. Amen. And maybe find somebody to take an evangelist on as a missionary, and that's a help. And I go for reasons like that. But my prayer is, Lord, speak to my heart. While I'm here, give me something. Lord, if something's not right in my heart, convict me. Most of the time, I'm at a conference for a few days hearing some preaching. It'd be at least one or two messages. God will get all over me. The Spirit of God gets all over me. Invitation's given. And I make my way down to the altar. But you're a preacher. Yeah, I know. I'm a human. I'm just one of God's kids. And I need corrected sometimes. And I need reproved. And I need challenged to do more. Amen. And when God speaks to me, I want to respond. Don't pass me up. Don't pass me by, God. I came to hear from you. You might just want to thank your preacher for being a preacher. A lot of guys preach your name only. You got a real preacher here. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you most of all for saving our souls, giving us hope of eternal life. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, for His convicting work. Lord, thank you for the attaboys, but I thank you for the times that you convict us of something that's not right in our lives. Lord God, I pray that even this morning, if you've spoken to hearts, I pray they'd come. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Before I finish my prayer, I just have a couple questions for you this morning. You remember a day you got saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Hey, Brother Black, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. Could you slip your hand up as a testimony of God's grace in your life? I'm saved and I know it. Hold it up nice and high for just a moment. I'm saved and I know it. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. Perhaps you're not sure. You say, Brother Black, I just really don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to go to hell. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I promise I wouldn't embarrass you for the world, but I'd like to pray for you. You'd say, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven, but I really don't want to go to hell. Could you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone else? All right, maybe you'd say, Brother Black, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I'll be honest with you, it's been a long time since I've been to an altar. Pray for me. Yes, I see that hand. Others? Yes, yes. You see, this is something God gave us. He wants to meet us. He wants to do a work in our lives. If we put him off, he'll not force himself on us any more than he forced himself. He didn't force himself on you when you got saved. You got saved willingly. He's not going to force you to do right. He's not going to force you to pray. He's not going to force you to make changes in your life. But you'll be blessed if you do. Father, Lord, I just thank you again for what you've done here today. Speak to hearts, Lord, for those who have raised their hand, Lord. I pray you'd just help them, Lord. And maybe they need to come to this altar. I don't know. I don't know what the burden that maybe they're carrying. But, Lord, I pray that you just meet with them during this time of invitation. For the one who raised the hand, just not sure, going to heaven, I pray they get it settled. Why go through this world not knowing when we can know for sure? Bless our invitation. In Christ's name we pray.